Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back. It's our number two, Leading Edge Medicine, and we're glad you're here today. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umeb, Dr. Jerry Mixon, live in the studio, and it's going to get a little livier. Okay, we've got, I think it's the most unique question we've had, and I've got a smile on my face. Morris, is that your, how do you pronounce your name, or is it Maurice? Maurice from Seattle. Okay, Maurice from Seattle. We want to talk about your belly button.
But I first want to say it's so good every Saturday morning listen to you three people with brains and not listening to politicians. It's so great.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're a number one fan, Maurice. Okay. You just went to the head of the line.
That's right.
Thank you for that.
Okay, here's a question. I was in Las Vegas. I'm at the swimming pool. And I got a belly button that sticks out a mile. And I'm looking at everybody else's belly button. Is, you know, it's inside. It doesn't stick out. Mine sticks out. I go, what the heck's wrong with it? And it seems like it's growing. So, and it's kind of, I got my bathing suit. I got to pull it up so it doesn't, you know, stick high. I hide it. What causes the belly button? And I'm the only one that has the belly button sticking out.
Yep. Okay. Well, so you have an outie instead of an innie. The most common cause, especially in a man of your mature years, that it's getting bigger is an umbilical hernia, where you've actually got a defect in the abdominal wall, and you've probably got a little piece of bowel that's trying to push its way up and out there. And it's not a difficult surgical repair. They make a little incision, and they push all that little bowel back into your belly and just put a couple of stitches across that really tough fibrous connective tissue that is supposed to form your umbilicus. And you're fixed. And they can give you an innie if you want an innie, or they can make it flat, or they can actually make it disappear, and you'll be the only man in your neighborhood with no belly button.
Oh, cool.
Well, yeah, I just want to. Now, is that an overnight? Do they do it? Is it take, you got to spend the night in the hospital or what?
Not usually. Usually it's an in or out. You go in the morning.
In or out.
You go in the morning, they do the procedure.
Let me see what you
That's
die, right.
Kind of, yeah. It's an in and out surgeries. You know, it's just kind of an assembly line. No, it's a very, very simple, very straightforward surgery as long as everything goes smoothly.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I always put that codicil on, nothing done to or by human beings is perfect. Okay, let me give you my four rules of medicine. Okay, first rule of medicine, anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. Okay, second rule, the proper dose of anything is just enough to do the job. Third rule, if you don't measure, you don't know. Now, here's the fourth one, and I hate the fourth rule. You can do everything right, and things can still go to hell. That's just, you know, that's human nature. And the fact is, anytime you do surgery, there is a small risk that things will go to hell, you know. But this is a straightforward surgery. Frankly, I don't know how many hernias I did in my lifetime, my 20 some years as a family doc, but I did hernias a lot. Mm-hmm. It was a very common procedure. Wow. The easiest ones to do were the umbilical hernias because you didn't have to worry about the spermatic cords and the, you know, all the big vessels.
The inguinal he's talking about. Yes, those are the harder
the
ones.
Inguinal and the femorals. The femorals in the women can be a pain too. But yeah, the inguinal hernias in the men where you don't want to compress the spermatic cord and, or the blood supply and kill his testicle. Okay. But the umbilical hernia, very little worry. All you got to do is don't punch a hole in the bowel. And you'll be fine.
Okay. Well, look, that is great information. And I got one more. You gave me the four rules. You got to put a fifth one in there. Never trust a politician.
Oh, God, that's been
number one. Yeah, okay, bullet.
I'm going to repeat for probably the 10,000th time Dr. Mixon's political philosophy. Okay.
I love your political philosophy.
Okay. Yeah. Here is my political philosophy in a nutshell. People who want to run their own lives, stay home and do that. People who want to run other people's lives, seek public office. The left wants to run my life. The left wants to run my life in one way. The right wants to run my life in a different way. What all those scoundrels have in common is they all think they're better qualified to run my life than I am, and I disagree. It's pretty simple.
I agree with you 100%, and that's why election time I'm writing your name down for president.
Oh, God, no.
All right, man. Love your show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Maurice. Okay, funnest call ever. I love that. That was great. Now, did I miss this? If he doesn't do this and it continues to get bigger, it's not going to be a good thing for him, so he really doesn't
actually,
need to do this.
The fact that it's getting bigger is worrisome because that says that more and more bowel is pushing its way up.
Okay.
And the worry is that if you get too much of the gut pushed up into that little hole, if it gets caught or twisted, you can end up by infarcting and actually killing part of your bowel.
Okay.
And now you've got a surgical emergency.
Okay.
And it can potentially a fatal surgical emergency. So umbilical hernias, if they're getting bigger or if they're at all uncomfortable, you ought to go in and just get them fixed.
Okay.
It's piddly surgery.
There you go. Yeah. And he can pick any size belly button he wants.
Yes, or none at all.
Or maybe he'll want to, I think I'd almost do that just to freak people out or put two in there.
Yeah, you go to the pool and you just say, yes, I am from the planet Exxon. We don't do that. We hatch from eggs.
Speaking of eggs, Dr. Mixon, if you were, you know, back in your days, if you were to do one of these umbilical
hernia
surgeries back in your country doctor days, would that be a couple chickens or a goat surgery? Just wondering how much it cost back then.
I always tried to get paid when I could. I didn't get paid a lot. You know, and when I started my medical practice way back in my little country town in 1978 or 79, my office visit was $12.
Wow.
Okay, $12. And I didn't have a big staff. I had one lady at the front desk. She had a pegboard to keep track of the bills and the payments and a telephone and an adding machine. That was all the office equipment we had.
That was it.
And I had one in the back room with me, and she did EKGs and blood pressures and pulmonary functions and all that sort of stuff. And life was simple. And, you know, $12, I made a decent living off that. Of course, I saw 45 people a day, and then I went over and did hospital rounds at 6:30 every morning, and second rounds at 7 o'clock every night. And I stumbled home at 10 p.m.
to get up.
But
to
other
it again.
Than that, I made a great living on $12 a visit.
Very good.
All paid.
Yes,
there was no insurance.
Yeah,
people came in and they gave cash, and we took it to the bank each night, and our overhead was low. And, you know, you see 40 people at $12 a piece. Your profit for the day after I paid the two front staff was $350 a day. That was good money back in the 1970s.
Yeah.
You know.
Ah, the good old days, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Things have changed a lot. Now insurance tells you what to do and what you can't do.
Yes.
You don't get paid when you see the patient, and you get paid later.
And the insurance company tells you what you can get paid and what care you can give.
And what care, what tests you can and cannot
run. Of course, after you've given the care.
And how much you are going to get paid.
But you know, on $12 a visit, I had 40 acres of land out about 2 miles out of town. I had some horses out there. I owned an airplane that I had custom built for me. I could land my airplane in my field and the horses would chase the plane. You know, I get out of the plane and then hop on the horse and ride it to the front door. I mean,
life was good.
It was good, except in the winter when the snow was so deep that we couldn't see the highway. And I could only tell where the road was because if I stayed equidistant from the tips of the fence posts that were poking up above the snow on either side, but the car couldn't make it through.
Oh, boy.
So I had my big old diesel tractor with a 6-foot wheels that I used for cutting hay. And I would go chugging through the snow drifts on my tractor to go to the hospital to do my rounds.
Wow.
Yes. Because that was a disadvantage of living out in the countryside instead of the guys that lived in the town.
In the snow, yeah.
So, you know, but on the other hand, in the summertime, I could ride my horse to the hospital.
Oh, you know? There you go.
And, where did you park the horse?
Just outside the emergency room.
Okay.
And in fact, I...
valet park it?
Well, I actually used a nurse as a valet one time. I was riding in the Rodeo Days parade. And my pager went off.
Oh, God.
And the code was a stat call to the hospital.
Ooh.
So I wheel my horse out of the parade route, and I went galloping through the town in my cowboy hat and my Levi's, rode the horse up to the emergency room door, threw the reins to the nurse, and went inside and delivered the baby.
Did you go back to the parade and, you know, get back in line?
Parade was over.
Oh, it was over.
But I always, because it's Rodeo Days parade, I always had free tickets to the rodeo.
Ooh.
Because they gave me tickets right above the bull chute where the bull riders were.
Yes.
You know, and these guys, these crazy people would climb on 2,000-3,000 pounds of mean animal that wanted to kill them.
Yes.
You know, and so I never did finish a rodeo, not once in any year, because always those damn bull riders, I'd end up dragging them off to the hospital and taping them back together.
Yeah.
You know, and they'd be crushed by these animals.
Oh.
And they never wanted to stay. You really wanted to watch them a couple of days to see if they were going to bleed out.
Yeah.
And it was always, Doc,
I'm fine. I got another rodeo tomorrow
and I've got to drive 300 miles tonight and ride a bull tomorrow.
That's right.
These guys are crazy.
And they'll put on the same Levi's and same blood-covered shirt to do that work.
Yep.
Don't ask me how I know this. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine and your questions. Phone lines are open for you at 888-312-5757. I'll be right back.
We decided we needed something to make us feel younger and healthier. I didn't want to do it by myself. I knew that Larry had to come with me.
Since I've become a longevity patient, I just feel wonderful now. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Longevity is a miracle for us.
As we stroll along together,
and we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. Hi there, and welcome back to our number two. We have room on the phones for you at 888-312-5757, and we'll get to a call in just a moment. But we're talking with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. And Dr. Mixon, you were just mentioning, and I love the stories of the good old country doctor days. They're so much fun. I can just see it in my mind's eye. But after a while, you got tired of the insurance people telling you what to do. And you wanted to help people.
Well, when I started medicine, of course, nobody had insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And then insurance started taking over. And by the time, you know, 20-some years later, insurance companies were trying to tell me what drugs I could write and what tests I could do. And I realized one day I didn't really work for the patient anymore.
Mm.
You know, I worked for the insurance company. The guy paying the bills is the one making the decisions. And if the patient's not paying the bill, the patient doesn't get to make the decisions. It's their insurance company.
Mm.
which is really kind of sad.
Yeah, it's like, okay, something's wrong here.
Yeah, that's not what I went into medicine for.
Nope. So you took your passion and you...
canceled all the insurance contracts.
Right. You were canceling before cancel was a thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
My cancel culture was all you insurance companies drop dead. I'm not working for you anymore.
No more.
And so I started Longevity Medical Clinic, where I actually get to work for the patient. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so,
and in those days, people told you that you would starve.
Yes, I was told I would starve to death, and there's no way people would pay for medical care these days. But, you know, it turned out if you provide services that their standard insurance won't provide, they'll pay. My goal, however, was to take these services to as many people as possible. So I tried to keep the price as low as possible. But, you know, we've got hour-long visits instead of 10-minute visits. And so it's... you can't get it below a certain threshold, you know. So we've got about as cheap as we can get it and still break even or even make a little profit some years. But, you know, we're doing good. And we're helping thousands of people this
way.
You
are, yeah.
So, you know, I won't get rich off longevity and never did, never shall. But, you know, I've got other businesses that I make my money from.
That pay the bills.
Pay the
there
bills. And that, you know, that keep me comfy and make my wife happy.
There you go.
Pay for my trips. But longevity is not the one that pays all those bills.
That's right. You know?
So this is, Longevity Medical Clinic in many respects is my good deed for the world. Because it lets me do a lot of really good things for a lot of people at the lowest possible cost. And the goal of longevity is to treat all of those things that time and gravity are doing to us that most doctors don't consider diseases. They consider them normal part of aging. Mm. Your brain is slowing down. Well, that's just normal. You're losing your sex drive. Well, that's just normal. If it's a guy, we can give him some Viagra. But, you know, if it's a girl, well, you know, lady, you're just approaching menopause, and that's a part of your life that is past. And, oh, yeah, you're gaining some weight, but, you know, that's just part of being older. And, oh, your bones are thinning out. Well, we got a drug for that. Oh, yeah, it may also cause your jaw to die. But, listen, don't worry about it. You know, and... the FDA does not consider aging a disease because it's a, quote, normal process. But my philosophy is anything that kills 100% of the people that suffer from it should be treated. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, we can't make you immortal, but we can make you stronger and faster and leaner and smarter and sexier, which will make you happier. And if you're stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and sexier, the odds are you're not going to the nursing home for an extra 10 or 15 years is my guesstimate. And so, you know, we should be able to help you have a longer, more productive, more enjoyable life. And it's considered unimportant by most of our colleagues. And I can't understand why having a rich, fulfilling, active, vigorous lifestyle would not be considered a good thing. That just boggles my mind. So if you don't like what time and gravity is doing to you, you probably ought to do our free health analysis appointment.
Absolutely.
And let our folks come in and do two tests for you. These tests will not be the comprehensive evaluation you can get later. But the two free tests will let us look at your visceral fat. And that will tell us your risk for dementia, diabetes, cognitive decline, osteoporosis, all sorts of bad stuff. We're also going to be taking a look at your hemoglobin A1C. And the hemoglobin A1C will tell us what your sugar has averaged over the last 3 months or so, not your high and low. But once more, the higher your A1C, the faster your brain is shrinking. I consider that important.
I'd like to keep my brain.
We're going to look at whether you're pre-diabetic or overtly diabetic or if you're doing good. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a look at a whole lot of simple risk factors. We'll look at your history and see what life has done to you up till now. If those things tell us that you're high risk, then we're going to offer you a big panel, and that one you will have to pay for. It's about $600, but it's about a $2,000 worth of standard testing. You get a 70 or so page printout, and that's going to really let us nail down where your major risks are and let the doctor decide whether or not they can help you and what it's going to take to help you. Then you can become a patient at Longevity Medical Clinic if you choose.
All right.
That's all we do.
There you go.
Free tests, and if you're high risk, a big battery of tests, and then you get to decide, do you want to be helped or do you just want to continue sliding downhill?
Yeah, because it's not going to get better on its own.
Nope, not going to get better on its own. And taking our tests to your family doctor is not going to help.
No.
Because they're not going to know what to do with them.
No, they're not going to do what we talk about each week.
That's right.
Absolutely. Here is what you need to do if you're going, okay, I want to do this. Finally, I want to do this. I want to make that call. Here is the number to call. It's 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can go online to lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com and sign up. Make an appointment at Kirkland, Tacoma, or Linwood, and you can pick a day and time that works best for your busy schedule. It's that simple. And we'll see you here at Longevity, okay? Again, that's lmclinic.com, or you can call us 866-86-YOUNG. All right, those phone lines are flashing. Let's talk with Suzanne. Suzanne is in Kirkland. Good morning, Suzanne. Thank you for waiting.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hi.
Good morning. I had thyroid testing done just as part of a regular office visit and had not mm-hmm. planned ahead to do that. So what came back on my TSH was 0.19 ULU/ML,
mm-hmm.
and the reference range was 0.40 up to 5.00.
Yep.
Now, my free T4 was 1.20 ng's per dl. Reference range 0.60 to 1.60. Can I specifically requested T3, free T3, to see if I'm converting the T4?
Uh-huh.
And that score was 2.5. PG/ML, and the reference range was 2.0 to 4.4. Now, the complication was I didn't remember to tell them I was taking biotin on a daily basis. So I looked up everything I'm taking that's got a little biotin in it,
mm-hmm.
and I take 41,500.
Wow.
Micrograms.
All right.
And I don't know how to convert that into grams, milligrams.
All right. Well, your T3 and T4 sound okay. Your TSH is suppressed. And the typical evaluation of a suppressed TSH would be that you have too much thyroid on board. But we're not seeing that on your T3, T4.
Yeah, it's your biotin. That's
right. But it's the biotin is suppressing the TSH.
Yeah.
So you have artificially suppressed TSH by the biotin. And so stop the biotin. Give it a month or two without the biotin. Go back, repeat your tests.
Now, we're assuming you're not on any thyroid replacement, correct?
I'm on ThyroStim. And another formula that won't mean much, it's GTA Forte 2.
Okay. Well.
So that's an alternative medicine approach to thyroid supplement. It does
yeah.
have a little bit of desiccated thyroid in it.
Okay. The problem that I'm facing here is your TSH and T3 both look okay. And for the thyroid...
Free T4 and free T3.
Right.
Yeah.
What did I say, TSH?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, if your T4 and T3 are okay, then your levels are within range. That TSH is the outlier. And generally, people that are taking too much thyroid hormone will get the low TSH.
Right. and or the biotin.
Right.
So the concern, of course, is that if you are on thyroid replacement and that's suppressing your TSH, then your risk for side effects like palpitations, anxiety, night sweats, panic attacks is higher. And also, by the way, demineralization of bone. So your numbers don't suggest it. But if you're on thyroid medication, that's a possibility. So the first thing would be to stop the biotin and have the labs repeated. And if you're at all symptomatic with either anxiety, sleep deprivation, night sweats, or panic attacks, or you feel your heart beating too fast, then stop the thyroid medication also.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if I'm going to repeat the labs, how long should I wait once I stop the biotin before I repeat the lab?
I give it a month to 6 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks.
A month to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, ma'am.
You bet, Suzanne. Thank you for calling.
We're seeing that a lot. We're seeing side effects and the thyroid labs not making sense because of supplements.
Yeah.
And so you do have to know about interactions.
And biotin is really popular now. Everybody's taking biotin for their hair and their nails, but they're just screwing up their thyroid testing.
Yep. Uh-oh. Okay. We will be back with more of your questions and Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat in just a moment. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
The thing that struck both of us most strongly right from the beginning was libido. Our sex drive went out the roof. It was like being 18 years old again. It was pretty wonderful. And it was something we had been missing for quite some time.
And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette here with the doctors, Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. Real quickly, during the break, we had someone text in. We were talking about thyroid numbers and taking biotin to, is taking, like if you're already on thyroid medication, this person wanted to know, can you take biotin? Should you stop? And you were mentioning that that could be in some of those, biotin is in the hair and nails, those really yummy gummies that you get at Costco.
Sugar.
Those are good.
Just take sugar instead.
Okay.
Yeah.
but should you not be taking, or what can cause thyroid issues?
Biotin's become so popular just because hair loss has become such a common problem.
Yes.
And it's not uncommon to find a lot of people taking biotin, but it's not safe to take high doses of biotin. It can cause a lot of problems. The expensive supplements for hair loss, Nutrafol, Viviscal, they're really spendy. I tell my patients that if you're really experiencing hair loss, first of all, try to find out what's causing it.
Yes.
And yes, it is true. Nutritional deficiencies and anemia and stress will cause it, but it doesn't mean you keep taking supplements without measuring your levels or knowing what they're doing to you. So I would say if you're taking a supplement or biotin for hair loss, take it for a period of time when you are experiencing hair loss, but then stop. Don't just keep taking it.
Just because once the hair comes back, you don't just keep going.
Exactly. And with your thyroid medication and biotin interaction, you need to let the doctor know. So if they're watching you and your labs are falling, then they don't keep adjusting your medication, which means lowering your dose of thyroid medication and you then becoming more symptomatic and losing more hair.
Mm.
That's now getting you into a vicious cycle. So it's the low TSH is not being caused because of your thyroid meds. It's caused by your biotin. And then now your doctor is going to lower your thyroid med, which will now aggravate your hair loss.
Oh, boy.
So you get tired and lethargic and gain weight. And
vicious cycle.
Yeah.
It is. People have the strange impression that if it's over the counter, it's safe.
It's okay. Yeah.
And that's not true. There's a lot of over-the-counter things that if you abuse them, if you use too much or take it too long, you get trouble. And biotin is one of those.
Yep.
Okay. Something to keep in mind, and that's good. Good question. Thank you for that. All right. We have Jeanette from Renton on the line. Hi there, Jeanette. How can we help?
Hi, Jeanette.
Well, hello. It's so good to hear your voices. Your program is just wonderful. And I do have a question. kind of putting this out there to you. My son, he lives in Southern California. He's 62. He's just been diagnosed with sciatica. And, of course, they're running tests. They're doing all kinds of things. But what his main problem is right now is getting a hold of the doctors. He can't sleep at night, and it's just causing all kinds of issues for him. As I don't know that much about sciatica, except he's suffering from it.
All right. Well, sciatica is just a common term for irritation of the sciatic nerve. And that nerve can be irritated at several places. You know, there is the so-called sciatic notch in the back in his buttock, where that sometimes gets hung up. It can get irritated at the nerve roots as it's coming out of the spinal canal. That's probably the other common place that it gets caught. So step one, you want to see if you can find out why the nerve is being irritated, what's squishing it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rarely it'll be something, the zebras, the things we don't see very often, that there can be tumors and so on that can compress the nerve. But more
he's
likely...
supposed to get an MRI tomorrow. So
okay. In a
61-year-old
man...
Tissue?
Yes, it shows soft tissue very nicely. That's the advantage of the MRI over the CAT scan. In a 61-year-old man, it is probably right where the nerve root comes out of the spine. That's usually where we see it caught in men that age group. They're just developing some degenerative arthritic changes in the vertebra. And, you know, he'll probably need something to get the pressure off. And it can be something as simple as a cortisone shot to shrink the swelling and the irritation go down, or some anti-inflammatories. Mm-hmm. It can be as big as needing surgery to open up that channel and get the pressure off the nerve. So, you know, the MRI is a good start. Obviously, a good physical exam will sometimes tell you where things are getting tweaked. And that's clearly nothing we can do on the radio.
Yeah.
But, you know, assuming he's got competent physicians, they're going to come to the answer pretty quick. And it's almost always fixable. It's very rare that you get intractable sciatic pain.
He's an electrician. He's been an electrician for 30 years. So I guess right now, is there anything he can do to sleep? You know, he called me up. He says, Mom, I'm grouchy. I can't sleep and I can't lay down. I can't, you know, I just can't get comfortable.
Of course,
being in Southern California, he has a swimming pool, so he swims a lot. And that's comforting, but it doesn't take care of the problem of sleeping.
No, it doesn't. And you know, sleeping is, I mean, he's going to get over-the-counter melatonin. The biggest question, though, is to what degree is his sciatic pain positional?
There
may be some positions he can get in, whether it's in a reclining chair or curled up in a semi-fetal position on one side or the other. You know, flexed and bend will sometimes help. Sometimes laying on the floor and putting his legs up on a chair will take the stretch and the pressure off. He just kind of has to play and experiment and find ways that gets rid of the pain. And since his MRI is here tomorrow, you know, he ought to have some answers by the next day.
I don't know. He's with a group, a medical group. I don't think I can say it on the air, but it's... Like he says, I'll get an MRI and I won't get an answer for 21 days. So
he was being grumpy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we in the medical profession, we have our favorites and our disfavorites.
Mm.
You know, we had group health here for a long time. That the group we used to call it around here was group death.
Group death. I went to group death.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I guess Kaiser bought them out.
Okay. Yeah, they did.
And so now you got Kaiser Permanente.
Yeah.
And, you know, those sorts of organizations, if you fall within their protocols, you get very prompt, very good standardized care. Because that's what they do, is they look and systematize things. And as long as you fall within the system, things just go swimmingly. The problem is if you're one of those people that has something that is unusual or different or doesn't fall in the proper pegs, then you can sometimes get lost and spend a long time wandering in a medical wilderness waiting for somebody to pay enough attention to solve the problem.
But sciatica hopefully shouldn't be one of those things.
Sciatica is so common that this should be one that just kind of says, oops, here's A, we'll do B. And he should get rapid care, and it should be effective care, because this is not a zebra. This is a common problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll certainly relay that information to him, especially about maybe laying on the floor and elevating his legs. That might be, I don't know. I have no idea what he's done. He was just grouchy and called. Since my son always used to check in with me once a month. Well, with COVID, he checks in with me once a week now.
Ooh, that's a plus.
Well, that's good.
That's good.
He pays attention to mommy.
He's very considerate, but I just kind of laugh about it. But he's the one having issues, not me. So.
I understand. Aww. I'll tell you, the one that made me laugh yesterday morning is I got this strange phone call from a number I didn't recognize, but I answered it anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And there's this very warm, concerned female voice said, aww, "Hello, this is Susie from Senior Services. And how are you doing today, sir?" And I said, "Well, I just finished a 3.5 mile run and I'm heading to the gym to lift weights. What do you want, Susie?"
Yeah.
She hung up.
Oh, boy.
Just because I've lived a while, they assume that. I need their solicitous care.
Number,
you're not a senior.
Probably checking out.
That's right.
I don't think her name was Susie, but I've had a couple of those calls. I'm in my 80s.
Just because we've lived a long time doesn't mean we're frail and pathetic.
That's right.
Leave me alone. I'll call you if I want you.
That's true. Oh, Jeanette, thank you. Oh, my. Thank you for your call, Jeanette. Quick question that got texted to me. What kind of a doctor, if you're having sciatica pain and issues, would that be you go to your primary, or is there another type of doctor?
Most primary care physicians have seen sciatica 500 times and they don't know right what to order.
They know exactly what to do.
If they're one of those primary care physicians that do no real primary care and they just are a referral service, they'll probably send you off to a orthopedist or a neurologist.
All right. So, wanted to know. Dr. Dan Nelson would probably be a good
Dr.
place
Nan
to
Nelson
start.
Dr. Dan Nelson would be a great place to start.
If you're here in our area, then
yeah.
You'll go to see Dr. Dan Nelson.
If you're in Southern California, Dan's probably a
well,
bit
he
of a
may
stretch.
Want to go, but.
That's right. And he will be our special guest host.
Come here, I guess. Come
that's
here.
Right. That's right.
He'll be our special guest host next week while Dr. Mixon is
gallivanting
in Iceland.
That's right.
Yes. Hey, we're not done yet. We've got some more calls to get to, and we're going to do that in just a moment. Stay right there. Leading Edge Medicine will continue.
We'd just like to encourage your audience who hasn't to take a look at us. I honestly, you say 10 to 15 years on your advertisements. I think I feel better than I felt 30 years ago.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game that we know.
We're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. You always hear us between the breaks, behind the scenes. Yes, and
right.
What's going on. Oh, boy. All right, we've got some more callers to get to. Let's go to Craig. Craig is calling in. Craig is calling in from University Place.
Oh, hello, Craig. Over at University Place.
Yes.
I'm going to University Village for lunch today.
Yes. I was
going to
say, aren't you heading that way yourself?
I am heading that way, yes. Okay, how can we help you today, Greg?
Well, I've been with you for 9 months.
Okay.
Dr. Prochaska, my doctor, and I'm self-medicating also to get nitric oxide into my blood system.
Okay.
And I've been using L-arginine and L-citrulline
Okay.
But I was wondering if there's a better way to get nitric oxide into my system, and what would be the amount?
Okay.
Whatever you recommend.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, the amino acids, arginine, citrulline.
And ornithine.
Yeah. We have a supplement we call triple aminos that is arginine, ornithine, and citrulline. It's lysine.
Lysine, yes.
Yeah. Arginine, yeah. Ornithine, and lysine.
Lysine, yeah.
And they do a good job. Assuming your body's able to metabolize them, but you generally need to take a pretty good whack of it, you know, a couple of grams at bedtime to really get a good result. One thing I like a lot for nitric oxide in the daytime is a product called Neo Forte.
40.
Neo 40. Okay. Yeah. And, it's just a chewable lozenge. And you can use one, two, or three times a day if you need to. And it actually increases nitric oxide production significantly. So it's a good product. It's not real cheap. I think two a day will cost you in the neighborhood of $60 a month. So a couple of bucks a day. But, you know, it's not outrageous. But that's my favorite, and it's one that I use, and I use it before I go to the gym, before I do heavy workouts, to increase nitric oxide level and blood flow to my muscles.
Is Neo 40 in your repertoire?
Yeah, they carry it at the clinic. So, you know, they can sell it to you and mail it to you if you want.
Okay, very good.
Okay. Another cheaper way, of course, is borscht. It's a good beet stew.
Oh.
Yeah. You cook up your beets and you throw some carrots and potatoes in and a little bit of beef and stir it up. And beets are wonderful for raising nitric oxide production.
Why not just beets and beets juice?
Beet juice works just fine. Beets work fine. Sure. No.
Yeah, they're
it's just,
very
I
popular.
Like borscht. It's a nice meal.
Well, okay then.
How fast does it work?
Beets? The Neo 40. Well, beets will usually kick it up in a matter within the hour. As you absorb the beets, they raise nitric oxide production quite efficiently.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and there's some supplements that are just real expensive ways to do beets. There's one called Super Beets.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and Super Beets is just basically they take beets and they boil them down and freeze dry them and, you know, get you all the good juice from it in pill form. But that's kind of a pricey way to do it. Beets are cheaper, and the Neo Forte is, I think, less expensive, and I like the chewable.
Mm. Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Yeah, take care.
I want to say that my kidney function has improved with longevity. I've never thought my kidney function would ever improve. I just figured it was kind of static or get worse. But it has improved under your program.
Well,
thank you very much.
I'm glad. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Wow.
All right.
Nice testimonial.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Good to hear.
So good. Okay, it looks like we have another caller on the line. Maybe room for you, too, at 888-312-5757. But somebody's ears perked up, Kathy and Renton, concerning the biotin. So, yes, let's talk about biotin. And, Kathy, what was your question?
Oh, I kind of missed when you were talking about it, but I caught a little bit of it. Uh-huh. I'm taking 17,050 micrograms of it, but I also take 125 milligrams of my thyroid medication. Am I getting way too much of the biotin?
Well, the thing with the biotin is it tends to lower your TSH, which is one of the tests we use to measure your thyroid function.
Right.
And so, you know, when your doctor is looking at your TSH and is looking at your free T3 and free T4, mm-hmm. if they are not in in agreement. In other words, if your T3 and T4 say that you're fine, and yet your TSH says that you've got too much thyroid, it may not be true. It may be the biotin that's giving you the erroneous TSH.
Okay. And so I should get my blood tested again just to be sure that this is not occurring.
Yes, and you just want to make sure that the TSH, the T3, and the T4 are all congruent. They all say the same thing.
Okay. And what are there? You were talking about a little bit of side effects of.
Well, the problem is that TSH is the most common test doctors use to measure your thyroid function. If your TSH is low, it says you have too much thyroid hormone. Okay. And so if a doctor sees a low TSH and you're on thyroid, he may cut your dose, thinking that the low TSH is due to too much thyroid, not due to too much biotin.
Oh.
And by cutting your dose, then the low thyroid can make you tired and lethargic and cold and weight gain and hair loss and all sorts of terrible things. So you actually end up getting your thyroid medicine lowered inappropriately due to the biotin giving the doctor the wrong test result.
That's weird, because some of those symptoms you were talking about I have and have had for a long time. But the last blood test I had, they said, your thyroid levels are fine. So I don't know.
Well, again,
I'm going to have another one, though, just to
What's possibly happening is that the biotin is lowering your TSH enough that they don't want to increase your thyroid medication because you sound like you're symptomatic still.
Right.
Yeah. With hypothyroidism.
Yes.
Right.
And that's the problem. You end up with untreated hypothyroidism because the biotin fools the doctor into thinking you already have too much thyroid.
So should I stop taking the biotin completely?
Yes.
Okay. All right, then. I'm still going to have a blood test, but I'll stop it before I go and have one.
Stop it and give it a month or two before you go get your test, okay?
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. This is very helpful.
All right.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
See, that's why it's important, because in our clinic, we do a nutritional analysis.
Yes.
So we actually measure their biotin level, and then we can tell them. Now, having said that, yes, people will take whatever they want outside of that. But if they have the objective measurements in front of them, they're less likely to do so.
Yeah. If we can measure and tell them where they really are, they're less likely to just take stuff wildly because they read an article somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, so.
All right.
There's a reason behind our testing.
Absolutely. Okay. We have a few minutes left of the show and we have one more call we're going to try to get into here.
Get him in.
Jack, hi there.
Hello, Jack.
Good morning. How can we help?
Hey guys, Dr. Mixon, I heard you talking about herpes a couple weeks ago. Here's the scenario.
Uh-huh.
I was exposed to herpes 25 years ago. I've never exhibited any symptoms. Is it possible I have it?
Yeah, but if you've never had a symptom, what it tells me is your immune system has suppressed the virus. And it does for most people. You know, the biggest study I've seen on that was actually done at a women's health clinic where they were testing, just as part of a research project, testing every woman that came through, whether they'd ever had a symptom or not. Okay. And they found that 42% of the women that were tested had positive antibodies to herpes, saying that they had been infected at some point in their life. Now, that's 4 out of 10. And yet, it was only a tiny fraction, less than 8% of people had ever had a symptom that you could connect to herpes. Okay. So most people's immune system is good enough that even if they're exposed, it'll suppress the virus and they never get sick from it. But...
Well, I'm a longevity patient, so my immune system has never been as sound as it is today.
Yes.
But can I pass that on to other people?
No, you won't pass it unless you have an active lesion.
Okay.
So if your body has suppressed this, you know, it's like you had chicken pox as a child. And you got over the chicken pox and your body suppressed the chicken pox virus. But do you realize the odds are you still have chicken pox virus in your system? You can't give anybody chickenpox because you don't have the disease, But there, that virus is probably sitting in your nerve roots somewhere, hiding, waiting for your immune system to go down enough that you can get shingles. And that's what shingles is a reoccurrence of chickenpox virus decades and decades after your last case of chickenpox. Okay. So your immune system's protecting you. Enjoy life. Don't worry about it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. So many questions today. So yes. Many topics. Oh, okay. And we have just a couple minutes left. Remember, if you are not a longevity patient wanting to come on board, get healthier, get stronger, get faster, get leaner, smarter, sexier, and
happier.
Give us a call. We want to get you in for that free health analysis appointment. Here is the number to call. It's 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can go online to lmclinic.com. That is lmclinic.com. And sign up. We want to see you here. Come on into Kirkland, Tacoma, or Linwood, and we would love to see you. Now, next week, Dr. Mixon will be gone for the next two Saturdays, but we'll be live in the studio with some special guest, well, doctors, right?
Dr. Umat will be here.
Yes,
and her special
absolutely.
Guest next week is Dr. Dan Nelson. And
yeah.
Then the week after that is
Dr. Ruben Maiden.
So we got our pain doctor next week.
Yes.
And a cardiologist the week after.
Yes. Yes, he'll be talking about all those pain questions.
Right.
Usually get a lot of folks calling in about knee replacement, back surgery, all sorts of issues.
And then Dr. Maiden is my favorite cardiologist. And
wonderful.
So all of you folks with blood pressure problems and heart issues, wait for 2 weeks and talk to Dr. Maiden.
Okay, that sounds great. And Dr. Mixon, you have a wonderful and safe adventure in Iceland.
I hope to.
Woohoo! All right, you have a great rest of your week as well. We will be back live in the studio. Again, that's Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho next week and Dr. Maiden the following week. In July and August. So, wow, we're getting through summer, aren't we?
We are.
All right. You have a great rest of your weekend. On behalf of Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, I'm Lynette Morgan. We'll see you right here next week on Leading Edge Medicine.